Well, let me just say, I'm so thankful to be here. I'm saddened by the news of Pastor and Mrs. Daly, but I just praise God for them. And I praise God for those of you who have been here for many, many years, to Auntie Faye and to Uncle. You know, you just don't know how the Lord's going to use your words and your character. And I guess we'll never know until we reach eternity. I was here as a young boy, and I'm so thankful for hymns, for Sunday school, for Friday Youth Club, and for Sunday preaching. And I praise God that God's still got his work here in East London. And, you know, we need a church in every neighbourhood. Well, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 10. We're going to read the first 21 verses, John chapter 10, in the Church Bible. It's on page 1077. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up by some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger, they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Well, we need God's help, don't we? So let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are God and God alone, and there is no one like you. We thank you for demonstrating your love to us in sending your own Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to die the death that we deserve, so that those who would believe in him, those who would trust in him, may have eternal life. We know, as mentioned earlier, that we deserve hell itself because we are sinners and we have rebelled against you and your rule. But I pray that this day, and Lord, in your own timing, that you will draw us to yourself, and those of us that love you already and trust in you and your Son would be assured just how great you are and rejoice in that. Help us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All of us follow something. The question I ask you tonight is this. Why is it so much better to follow Jesus than to follow anything else in this world? Why is it so much better to follow Jesus than anything else in this world? You see, we all follow something, whether you realize it or not. People follow what's on the media. People follow sports teams. People follow celebrities. People follow TV shows. What do you follow? Maybe you don't follow any of those things. Maybe you follow yourself. And you know, even as Christians, we can be followers too. We can have our own followings of our favourite Christian authors, our favourite Christian speakers, our favourite online blog. But the question is, why is it so much better to follow Jesus than anything else in this world? And here's the answer. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep and gives them life. You get it? Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep and gives them life. And as a result, if you're not his follower today, you need to believe in this Jesus and you need to follow him. And if you are one of his today, praise God. You need to be assured that he is the only one you need to follow. Well, we need to know what's happening in John's Gospel. John's Gospel is written for Jews at the time. The Apostle John, one close to Jesus, wrote this account for Jews at the time. And the key verse is in John 20, 30 and 31. Do you know it? John wrote these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. And you know, we have this account today in our hands so that we also may believe in him and have eternal life. The introduction to John's Gospel is John chapter 1, a great section to learn. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He came into the world. He became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He came into his own creation. He is the light. And as we walk through John's Gospel, we see Jesus in encounters with people. We had it mentioned earlier. You must be born again. You must be born again, he said to the religious authority, Nicodemus. This man who knew lots and lots about what the Old Testament said, lots about God, but he needed to be born again. In John 3:16, you have that amazing verse. You know it, don't you? Because you were taught it in Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we see just who Jesus is. He turns water into wine. He has an encounter with a Samaritan woman, a foreigner, an immigrant. And yet, she believes and trusts in him. And in this section, from chapters 5 onwards, the Jews would have known their history well. You know what the height of their history was? It was the Exodus from Egypt. When they were slaves in Egypt to Pharaoh. And God delivered them through Moses. You see, in chapter 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Do you remember as they travelled through the wilderness? They had no food. And they cried out, "Where's our food, God?" And guess what God provided? He provided that manna. What is this? What is this manna? The miraculous bread from heaven. And so God provides food for his people. That food, that hunger, that inner hunger that will never go away, God satisfies. Later on in chapter 7, Jesus cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Again, as they went through the wilderness, they thirsted and God provided them water. And so it was the same for God's people at the time. What is that inner thirst inside that? What's going to satisfy them? Nothing but Jesus. Only Jesus can satisfy. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Just as they went through the wilderness, they needed a guide. They didn't know where they were going. They had no GPS. They had no sat-nav. But God was their guide by that massive pillar of clouds and that massive pillar of light, a fire. The cloud by day and the fire by night. And so as we see, Jesus is slowly revealing himself. He is going to be the guide. He is going to be the leader. That those who follow him will get into the promised land. That is the promised land of heaven. And yet we see rebellion from the Jews. Can I just say something about Jews? We love Jews, right? By the way, we're Gentiles, right? You're either a Jew or Gentile. That's what the Bible says, okay? And generally speaking. You see, Jews are just like us. They're sinners. And they need a saviour. And Jesus is a saviour. Therefore, we are not anti-Semitic. We don't have this hate against Jews. We're not Nazis. And we love Jews. Just like we love anybody else. I mean, at that time, the Jews, those who listened to Jesus, the Pharisees, the religious authorities, hated him so much that they would pick up stones and they would have stoned him. But Jesus evades them. And in the previous chapter, in chapter 9, Jesus gives sight to a man born blind. And yet, as the Pharisees investigate this miracle, they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In chapter 9, verse 41, just have a look. Jesus saith unto them, the Pharisees, the religious authorities, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." And so, Jesus is there talking to the Pharisees. And he's talking to whoever's listening in as well. Let's continue reading from chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." Here we go. Three headings for today. Here's the first one, from verses 1 to 6. Jesus is the promised shepherd who calls out his sheep who follow him. Jesus is the promised shepherd who calls out his sheep who follow him. Now maybe you were also confused when that was read to you. You can imagine Jesus was talking and then suddenly he's talking about sheep. It's like me suddenly talking about crocodiles and River Amazon and other stuff. You'd be confused, right? But to the Jews hearing this at the time, and to John's original readers, I think they would have cast their mind back to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 is a chapter where God condemns the spiritual leaders of Israel. And the spiritual leaders are called shepherds. And these shepherds are bad shepherds. You see, these shepherds were put in charge by God to look after his sheep, to look after his people. And yet, these shepherds were bad because they abandoned their sheep. So much so that they were sick. So much so that they were scattered. You see, these Pharisees were well trained in the scriptures. They were the ideal people to look after God's sheep and lead them and train them. And through Ezekiel 34, there comes a point where God says, you know what? I've had enough of you. I myself am going to look after my sheep. I'm going to go out and find them and bring them back. And I'm going to feed for them and I'm going to care for them. And it says this in Ezekiel 34:23. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. Now what we need to know, that this was way after King David was around. So, who is this servant David? And you might know, it's Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of this. Jesus is the one who's going to go out and find his sheep. And Jesus is the one who's going to feed the sheep. Jesus will care for his followers. Now we need to bring him back up. We need to remember what shepherding is, right? It's good to see you young people. Do you get taught about shepherding at school? You know, no, I didn't think so. Do you guys know about shepherding? No, I didn't think so. Imagine this big room. Stone walls all around. This is the sheep pen. And by that door is the door, the gate of the pen. And don't just think of a few sheep. Think of a 60 sheep, 70 sheep. And instead of a shepherd that goes behind his sheep, like they do in the West, in this country, with sheepdogs, imagine a shepherd with no sheepdogs. And instead, he calls his sheep over, and his sheep come to him. Also, there would have been a porter or a gatekeeper, someone hired to be in charge, be the security at the gate. That man was hired by the shepherds to look after the sheep and only to open it to the shepherds he knows. So hopefully I've set the picture. What does Jesus call these Pharisees in verse 1? Do you remember? He calls them thieves and robbers. Ow, that's painful. They are thieves and robbers. Double emphasis. Those who climb into the sheepfold by another way, other than the door. You see, these Pharisees don't care for God's people. They are thieves and robbers. But Jesus is the recognized shepherd. Did you notice? You see, it says in the middle of verse 3. What does it say? The sheep hear his voice. That's Jesus' voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Like I said, the sheepfold may have many sheep. And in fact, it wasn't just one shepherd sheep. It may have been three or four shepherd sheep. But notice this. Jesus calls his own people out by name. Isn't that amazing? The Son of God calls out his people by name. You see, Jesus had his chosen people in Israel at that time. and he knows them personally by name, and he leads them out. What else do we know about these sheep? They are chosen people of God because they hear the voice of Jesus. They hear the voice of Jesus. They recognize his voice and they follow him. Why? Because they hear his voice and recognize his voice. And in complete contrast, what do we know about the Pharisees? They are called strangers, are they not? You see, the sheep don't listen to the strangers. In fact, they run away. Why? Because they don't recognize the stranger's voice. How does this apply to us today? Dear friends, I don't know you personally, but there is so much that calls itself Christianity out there. So much false teaching. They tell you that you can have your best life in this life. That is not true. That is not what the Bible says. There are teachers saying that you can be rich in this world if you follow Jesus. That is not Jesus' teaching. Be very careful, my friends. Listen to the voice of Jesus. And the best way is to hear it through his words. So firstly, Jesus is the promised shepherd who calls out his sheep who follow him. Secondly, verses 7 and 10. Jesus is the door by which people are saved. Well, we know from verse 6 that the Pharisee had no idea what he was on about. But let's read verses 7 and 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Do you see what Jesus says twice here? He says, I am the door of the sheep. He makes it absolutely clear that the Pharisees are the thieves and they are the robbers. He says, before I came into the world, they were there. They were the ones who were the thieves and robbers. And yet, the sheep did not listen to their voices. In verse 9, it says, If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. We need to imagine the sheep again. Okay, the sheep are in the pen, and they've eaten the grass inside the pen. Where are they going to find their sheep? The answer is outside the sheep pen. So how will they get outside? Well, they have to go through the gate. So the gate is open, and off they go out of the sheep pen to eat grass. That way they are saved. So they're eating their grass throughout the day, wandering around, and then the night comes. And that's when wolves come out, and bears come out, and danger appears. How are these sheep going to be saved? Well, they need to come back into the pen, through the gate, and be saved. Have I overstated the point? You see, Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the gate. By him, people are saved. Is that clear? Do you remember in John 14:6, do you know it? One of the great memory verses, eh? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father, how does it finish? But through me. But through Jesus. That's what he said. So Jesus is the way to be saved. What more do we know about these Pharisees? In verse 10, these Pharisees came to steal. They came to kill and to destroy. But what does Jesus say about himself? I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You see the contrast Jesus is making with himself and the Pharisees. The Pharisees are those who take away life. But Jesus comes to give life. Not just life in this earth, but life eternally. Eternally. Life to come. You know, this really is amazing news for John's original readers, you know, who are facing uncertainty at the time. Should I follow Jesus even though I'm being oppressed by religious authorities? And they have to stand firm. Jesus says, believe in me and you shall have eternal life. And thirdly and finally, Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Verses 11 to 18. Did you notice again? We have another one of Jesus' I am sayings. And it's, I am the shepherd. But not just the shepherd, the good shepherd. You see, he's immediately contrasting himself with the bad shepherds, who are the Pharisees. The bad shepherds of Ezekiel 34. Jesus is the good shepherd. And how does this shepherd show that he is good? Have a look in verse 11. What does he do? He lays down his life for the sheep. What is that in plain English? If I say to you young people, Jesus dies for his sheep. Jesus dies for his people. Isn't that an amazing thing? Just have a think of that for a second. Jesus dies for his people. And he dies so that they can have life. Well, what about these Pharisees? This time, they're described as hirelings or hired people. You see, they're placed in charge of God's people. They don't own God's people. They're given authority over the people. And yet, when danger appears on the horizon, they run away. You see, it's clear that the Pharisees were in it for themselves. They didn't care for God's people. If you imagine chapter 9 again. Do you remember chapter 9? The man born blind. This man was born blind. He couldn't see. He was born blind. He's never seen in his life. And Jesus comes and gives him sight. I love that YouTube video that's been going around. Maybe there's a few of them. But there's this person who hasn't seen anything in their life. And suddenly they can see. And imagine their reaction. Oh, they're so happy. Question, why weren't these Pharisees happy when this man born blind could see? You see, they were more fixed on their traditions and their law. Saying, hang on, this man was healed on a Sabbath? Unacceptable. Well, the Pharisees are gone. They're not in the chapter. They're not in this section anymore. Verse 14 again. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep and have known of mine. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, just as Jesus, the Son of God, has this intimate relationship with his Father, God the Father, so we also have this intimate relationship with Jesus. Can you imagine that? How can our relationship with Jesus as Christians parallel with God the Father's relationship with his Son? And again, Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus dies for his chosen people, so that those who hear his voice and follow him will live. And I love this bit in verse 16. Have a look. Verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You ask yourself, Baldwin, why is that so exciting? And here's why. Because Jesus comes for people like us. You see, if you are a Christian sitting in this room today, Jesus has come for you. Jesus has saved you. If you are his today, you've got to imagine, Jesus is speaking to Jews at the time. He's speaking to Pharisees. And he's saying to them, I came for people today who trust in me today. And he says, I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I have other sheep who are not in Israel. And I'm going to go find them. And that includes people like the Samaritan woman. That includes people outside of Israel. And dear friends, if you are Christian today, he's come for you. And you know what? There will be a time when the sheep pen will be full of sheep. Christians from all around the world, from today, from the past, from those in the future. And just like in Revelation 7, there will be a great multitude that no one can number. From every nation, from every tribe, from every people, from every language, standing before the throne of God and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen. Let's move on to verses 17 and 18. It says this. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You see, the Pharisees, they thought they had authority. But who has the real authority? Jesus has the real authority and power. And this Jesus does not just die for his people and remain dead. Jesus rises from the dead. Our great shepherd, our great leader, our great saviour did not remain dead in the grave, praise God. Do you remember what it says? Where is he? He's not here. He is risen. This is totally amazing. And so, as we close, why is it so much better to follow Jesus than anything else in this world? Well, there are so many benefits. You see, following stuff in this world does not get you to heaven. Following stuff does not give you eternal life. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep and gives them life and life abundantly. Can I personalize that? Can I make that personal to you and to me? If you are a Christian today, Jesus, the Son of God, the good shepherd, died for you, Christian. Died for me, Christian. So that you and I may have life. May have eternal life. And so as I close, I hope I've shown to you why it's so great to follow Jesus. But notice the reaction at the end. Did you notice it? Of the Jewish crowds listening. The Jewish crowds are just like the people today. They're split. Some thought Jesus was demon-possessed and would not listen. He's mad, they thought. I'm not listening to this guy. Others thought that Jesus was the real deal and really sent by God. You see, if you're not a follower of Jesus, have a look. See the evidence for yourself. Think on these things. Listen to the voice of Jesus and follow him. And if you are one of his, if you are his follower, be confident of the faith you have in Jesus. Let's bow in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for your word to us this evening. And I pray, by your Spirit, would you use these weak words that have entered people's hearts and minds and use them for your glory. And by your grace, would you save and for your glory. And we pray this through your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Can we sing Just As I Am, 3, 5, 4?